Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined with my good friend, Avery Zareski. We have an unbelievable interview today with our good friend, Mike Grinnell from Spit and Chicklets. Cody was on for the interview, which was really funny. We gave him a lot of shit. But overall, hilarious time. Cody won't be with us for the intro, but Avery, how's your weekend? What's going on?
First of all, so happy Cody's not here. He's been a real dick all day. It's just the flow is just so much better without Cody. I really hope he's listening to this because he needs to know this from the heart. Glad Cody's not here. But yeah, Johnny had a great weekend. I went down to the Hamptons for a work event. It was like a grill experiences thing where a bunch of barbecue places from all around New York came and they showcased some of their best dishes, and they were amazing. There was like some pork dishes, some ribs. It was incredible. And
like
I've been
farmer's market kind of vibe, like a bunch of tents set up.
It was more of like brand. So there were brand activations. So we were there with Mohegan Sun. There was also like Don Julio, but then it was like, I'm trying to think of some of the names of the barbecue places. I forget, but it was all different types of places that came in and kind of showcased. It was like a competition too. People were like putting coins and like choosing their favorite one. So it was a good time. Weather was really nice. And I hadn't been out into Hamptons in a while. The drive is so bad. I live in northern New Jersey. So it was about a 3-hour drive there and 2.5 back. I also got a leak in my tire. That's great.
Did you just go for the day or did you stay overnight?
Yeah, I went for the day. I just figured that if I stayed overnight and left Sunday morning, it was just going to be an absolute nightmare traffic level. So I just wanted to bang it out at night, and it paid off. I mean, other than getting a nail in my tire, but what are you going to do?
Which Hampton were you in?
East Hampton.
Oh, I love East Hampton.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. The vibe's great. The people are great. Very nice people. There's definitely some characters. I'll give you that. You know, a lot of white pants, I'm sure. I know. You're a white pants guy, Johnny. Yep. white pants look good, man.
Hey, you can only wear it for like a certain season, so why not?
Yeah, why not? Let it fly.
I like white pants.
Yeah, I wore white shorts, so I'm pretty much there, you know. But yeah, that was like a majority of my weekend. And today I just played golf, had a good Sunday. Just chilling. Watched the Yankees. Yankees lost, but they're actually starting to play well again, which is nice.
Do they have any shot at making the playoffs? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're only 3.5 games back from the wild card right now, which is good. Or 4.5. I don't know. One of the two. But they're not that far out. They've just been playing pretty bad. Their pitching hasn't been great. But it's a Rangers podcast, Johnny.
Well, I was actually going to say, speaking of baseball, I went to Chicago this weekend, and I went to Wrigley for the first time. And you guys know I'm not a baseball guy, but, like, when you go to, like, a Wrigley Field or a Fenway Park, you know, any, like, old school ballpark, it is just, like – it's kind of different, you know. It's I mean, the game was great too. The Cubs won like 8-6, so it was like an exciting game, which was cool. But I had a great time at the ballpark, man. Like, you know, you get a bunch of beers, some hot dogs, peanuts. Like, my friend Ashley taught me, he calls them beer nuts. I don't know if this is like a common thing, but you put the peanuts in your beer, so it makes the beer a little bit saltier. Like, by the time you're drinking it, it's like a, you know, it makes it like a little more flavorful. And then you eat the beer flavored peanuts at the end when you finish your cup. Kind of like an interesting thing.
Very interesting. Never done it, but it doesn't sound bad. I'll definitely try it. It's funny, like, everybody, you know, when you go to like an old stadium, everybody becomes an architect major. Like, wow, look at, you know, all this stuff. But yeah, I agree. Like, I'm a diehard Yankees fan, but I do like going to Fenway. It's just, it's cool going to like older ballparks. And that's kind of the allure of baseball, is like the nice fields, but then it also has that, you know, old feeling, and it still keeps its value, which is why I hate that they built the new Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, they should have just done renovations to the old one.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Is it in the same location? Like, I don't.
It's across the street. So the old field is still there. It's not like the same field, but like you can play on it.
Wait,
it's just
really?
Like a park. Yeah, it's just a park. Like the
no way.
Like where home plate was is still where home plate is on the new field that they built.
That's actually sick. Wait,
yeah,
is
it's cool.
City Field similar, like the home plate from Shea Stadium is in the parking lot somewhere?
I think so. I don't know what exactly for sure, but that's like another place that, although the new Citi Field's nice, it would have been great if they just kept Shea Stadium and kind of did some renovations.
Wasn't Shea Stadium like a dump?
Yeah, dude, they're all dumps. Fenway's a dump. Fenway's a dump, bro. The concourse sucks. It's not like new and shiny, but that's what makes baseball great, is having these like dump of ballparks. But you go and you act like a piece of shit. Like, you get a hot dog, you get beer, you fucking put your peanuts in beer. Like,
drinking hot dogs makes you a piece of shit.
Johnny, where else are you gonna put a peanut in your beer?
I guess that's true. Yeah,
exactly.
So and you just yeah. Like, half peanuts, do they?
I don't know. But I you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Right. But back to the moral of the story. Just a great day at the ballpark. And I'm not a baseball guy, so I thought it was you know, a different perspective. It was really, and the pitch clock actually helps a lot. It makes the game seem a little less boring.
Big time.
Which was nice. Took the nerve fee. The Cubs scored 5 runs in the bottom of the first. So bad luck. But let's get into some hockey. We don't have much to talk about Rangers wise, still waiting on Lafreniere, but there was a huge trade obviously yesterday. And unless you live under a rock, you should know that Erik Karlsson is now a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think it was 12 total players involved, 3-team trade. Pretty huge deal. I think, you know, Pittsburgh obviously came out as the big winners. I think they didn't have to spend much to get Erik Karlsson. And, you know, obviously the Penguins right now are a team on the back nine with Crosby, Malkin, Letang all aging. Karlsson's 33 years old. But Kyle Dubas had to come in and make a splash, and he made a pretty big one. And Avery, how do you think this shapes up the Metropolitan Division?
You know, honestly, Johnny, I was really relieved to see them go to the Penguins. There was rumors that he was going to go to Carolina. There were, you know, but if he was going to go to any Eastern Conference team, Penguins is fine. I can deal with it. They were obviously a fringe team last year. They battled through. They're a tough opponent. Obviously, they took us to 7 games 2 years ago. But now it's just one of those things where they add a lot more offense, which I don't really think they needed a lot more offense. I think they have that here and there. You know, obviously, it helps down the stretch. And he's Norris Trophy winner. Anytime you can add a guy like that, it's pretty incredible. But I don't really think it hurts the Rangers as much as, you know, the teams more on the bubble, like the Islanders and whatnot. But I think the Rangers will be fine. Like, I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think that Pittsburgh's going to give them that much more of an issue than they already do. And honestly, out of all the teams that made the acquisitions in that trade, I think Montreal did pretty well as a third team getting Petrie, who's a solid top four D man. You know, he kind of dwindled a little bit this year, but he's a guy who you can fill right in. And Montreal's a team with a lot of good young players, so I think they made out pretty well on that one.
Yeah, and Petrie was there like 2 years ago. He went to Pittsburgh for like a season, and now he's right back. But in my opinion, just as far as the Metro goes, and tell me if you disagree, because I really think that 7 out of the 8 teams in the Metro right now, like, I wouldn't be shocked if any of them made the playoffs. Like, the only team that would surprise me is Philadelphia. Like, other than that, I think all 7 teams, like, can easily have a shot at making the playoffs, which is, like, pretty crazy because you can't really say that about any other division, I think, right now.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's obviously more of a threat anytime you can add a guy like that, for sure. And I agree. I think Philly's a team that needs a lot of retooling, and they do have some young studs who I think, you know, could eventually be key players for them. But right now they're just not in it. But every other team, I mean, you'll just look down the line, Rangers, Devils, Islanders, like, it's crazy. The Capitals, Carolina, it just, every single team's going to be in it this year. And it sucks being in this division. It's almost like goes back to baseball. Like, the AL East right now is so hot. Like, the Yankees, they have a winning record, but they're not even close to a wild card spot right now. So it's just like one of those things where the Rangers have to win every single game in the Metro this year. It just has to happen.
So let me ask you this question. Which teams, if you had to put above the Rangers in the Metro, do you think are above the Rangers right now?
Got to say Carolina. Even though Rangers just play so well against them, but they're a force. Like, they're a regular season team that's really good in the regular season, obviously. And then the Devils are going to be tough again. They didn't lose anybody, really. They added more talent into Foley. And then if I had to put one other team over the Rangers, I could see the Islanders bouncing back this year. You know, they had a rough year with injuries, but they have Sorokin, who's an X factor. He's just as good as Igor. And I could see the Islanders making a pretty big bounce back.
I actually have what might be a hot take, because last year I said the Devils would be a sleeper team to make the playoffs, like, in the offseason. But this year, I honestly, like, wouldn't be surprised if the Devils disappoint a lot.
Really?
And I think that's just, like, you know, typical teams that – I don't want to say the Devils overachieved, because they were really consistent the entire year. And, like, everyone knows that I'm not a Devils fan, but I love watching them. I think they're a great team, a fun team to watch. But I think, you know, and as far as the Rangers point, right, like, the Rangers this past year had so much hype around them that it was so disappointing, because everyone thought, like, oh, this is the team, this is the year. I mean, they had all the big names, the Tarasenko, the Kane, you know, additions obviously were huge. But now, you know, obviously it was after the year they made the Eastern Conference Final, which was clearly an overachievement. The Devils are somewhat in that similar boat. Like, obviously they got spanked Carolina in the second round. But now there's so much hype around this Devils team, and they're, you know, being put in a tier where they're a Stanley Cup contender, which might be a little bit too soon to say. So I think if there is one team to disappoint right now in the Metro this coming year, I think it is the Devils, which last year they were the team to, you know, be that team to exceed expectations, and now it's just flip-flop so quick to what I think happened with the Rangers last year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't hate that take at all. I think what makes hockey great is there's so much disparity. Like, you can predict as much as you want, but you just don't know what's going to happen over an 82-game season. The Rangers obviously had a crazy year 2 years ago, and everyone figured them out. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Devils. They lost Brunette, and although they added guys, the coaching staff is so important. Like, when you lose a guy like him, he could have been the X factor in that locker room in terms of what they were doing on a game-to-game basis. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this season.
I mean, I almost think that the Carlson move, obviously, you know, I don't want to say it benefits the Rangers, but when you look at the Metropolitan Division right now, I think the Rangers, like, I don't want to say this because it could be a stretch to someone who can just, like, twist my words, but they can have somewhat of, like, an underdog mentality, no? It's crazy, yeah, though, with, like, Igor and Fox and, you know, Mika, Panarin, like, all the stars that they do have. Kreider, you know, obviously one I'm missing, and the addition of Blake Wheeler, but, like, they're not being talked about right now, I feel like, amongst the entire NHL, where they're like this team going in with a ton of hype.
Here's my take on the Rangers right now. They, in terms of the Metropolitan Division, they by far have the most potential. They have the best defenseman in the Metro. They have the best goalie in the Metro. They have, when he's at his best, a top 10 center in Mika Zibanejad, a top 3 right winger in Artemi Panarin. Like, it's just like, or is he play left now? I don't even know. Yeah, left wing. Same thing. But I'm just saying, like, they have the talent. They just have to show it. And then they have top two picks who need to show out this year. They have Hedl. They just signed him to a big deal. He's obviously a game breaker. He can put up 20, maybe 25 goals in a season. Like, they have the guys. The Keandre Miller's due for a big step up. Trouba had a great finish to last year. I thought he played great last season. You know, he's obviously might not be earning that $8 million a year, but for what he's giving us, I thought he had a really big bounce back season after a year that people got really hard on Jacob Trouba, and I thought he played really well last season. So,
I should have been harder on him last year.
Yeah, so it's like, I really do believe that the Rangers, in terms of the Metropolitan Division, have the most potential to break out because of how good their top players can be. They just have to be good.
Yeah, I just think, you know, last year we went in with such high expectations that you were only bound to disappoint if they didn't make the Stanley Cup final or win the Stanley Cup. So, like, I think it just benefits the team pressure-wise this year, plus they have so much more to prove after the way they went out last year. So I think the Carlson thing, you know, obviously it's, you know, not a preference that he's in the Metro, but, like, I think the Rangers can only surprise in positive ways this season. I don't expect them to have such a lackluster or, you know, really down season.
And Panarin shaved his head, so.
Yeah. It was weird seeing that, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but people are freaking out over it. It's just this thing. Whatever helps him. I mean, listen, he's a world-class talent. If that's going to get him back into full form, go ahead, shave your head, bro.
Yeah. But that's really, like, all I got for hockey things. Anything else you got before we go into
I was trying to think Rangers-wise if there was anything. They signed that kid Scanlon or
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, NHL guy.
Yeah, who supposedly had a good year last year in the A, right?
I mean, I can't really speak much to it. I didn't watch many Hartford Wolfpack games last year, but Scanlon's a solid player, and you know, I don't expect him to get any time in the NHL. Like, you know, maybe a preseason game here or two, but yeah, right. I don't see him getting any games to the Rangers.
Yeah, but not a lot of activity Rangers-wise. You know, it's funny. I have the notifications on, and every time they post, like, I just expect it to be like Lafreniere, but it was just like Blake Wheeler explaining his life and his transition to New York. So it's just like, waiting for this moment, and I've been through so many off seasons as a Ranger fan. I just don't understand what's happening right now. There's just no reason for him not to be signed unless they're trying to do something.
Yeah, no,
he's holding out.
I haven't heard anything, and I don't think anyone else has heard anything. So I don't know what the hell is going on. But yeah, man, I got nothing else really.
Yeah, everybody looks for me for scoops, and I consistently get them, but. This one is an airtight seal. I've tried, and I can't get any.
I don't even, like, have a timeline for when it'll be announced. So, like,
I said, all quiet on the Eastern Front right now.
Yeah. Before we do get into this interview with Grinnell, our good pal from Spit Chicklets, I do want to talk about a sponsor for this episode, and they've been sponsoring the last couple episodes, and that's 4Play. 4Play is an online double dating app, but it's really all about the experiences. Avery and I have been talking about it now the past couple weeks. Cody's obviously the married guy on the show, but with 4Play, you can sign up with a buddy, you make your own profile, and you pair up with another set of two single people. You make a group chat, you get the fun stuff going, you know, do whatever you want with the rest of the time that we have left the summer, because we're already almost in mid-August and time is absolutely flying by. But with this 4Play segment, we actually want to do something fun today and talk about the best NHL dynamic duos that we've seen. Because I feel like, honestly, in regard to the Rangers, like, I can't think of any dynamic duo, at least in our lifetime. Like, nothing comes to my mind.
I really couldn't think of any. I mean, I guess you could say Fox and Lindgren right now.
Well, that's just like a D pairing. That's not a dynamic. I would say, no, Kreider and Mika are like a dynamic duo, if anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Out of
they're nowhere near the top ranks.
No, I think out of all the ones in our lifetime, that's probably up there in terms of Ranger wise, but not. Yeah. Wait, why wouldn't you say Fox and Lindgren aren't a dynamic duo?
D pair. They don't like tear up the NHL.
Yeah, but they complement each other so well. They're duo. All
right, but
they're
when you think dynamic duo, you think like McDavid Dreisaitl or like okay. Zetterberg Datsyuk, like okay. Fox Lindgren.
All right. Well, my pick is Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg.
That's a good one.
Yep, they had two Stanley Cups together, two Hart Memorial Trophies, one Conn Smythe Trophy, one Art Ross Trophy, one Lester Trophy, one Lady Byng, and one Calder. So it's pretty good hardware there.
Not bad. I'd say mine is probably like Messier Gretzky. I don't have the stats in front of me, but yeah. You know, I think they're tough to beat.
I mean, I tried to go a little outside the box.
Yeah. Well, I'll go outside the box. Like I said, Datsyuk Zetterberg, like I think that for me, like growing up, the dynamic duo, I think of like our childhood, right? Like the Red Wings were so good every year. And it was really Pavel Datsyuk was one of my favorite players growing up. And him and Zetterberg were dominant, at least like, 2007, 2010, like those years.
Yeah. And I also think Crosby and Malkin as a 1-2 punch for so many years, like, just being able to have that, it showed me as like a younger hockey player who watches hockey, it helped me understand how important it is to have like a really good like first and second line center. I mean, that they're sole reason why they won the Stanley Cup, you know.
And then obviously like Kane and Taves, like that's yeah, you know, that was the dynamic duo.
Yeah,
of basically our like high school years and whatnot. I'm trying to think of like an outside the box one right now, like. You know, I thought, like, I think I said before we were recording, like, Kariya and Solani in Anaheim. Like, that was a good one.
Lemieux and Jágr. All right, here's one. Serge Savard and Larry Robinson.
I know Larry Robinson. I don't know Serge Savard.
Interesting. Brian Trottier and Mike Bossy.
Would you school this?
Yeah, I did. Brett Hull and Adam Oates. John LeClair and Eric Lindros. That's a throwback. Yeah, that's a crazy one. Chris Pronger and Al MacInnis.
One of the first jerseys I owned was a Eric Lindros Flyers captain jersey. It was nasty. Ooh.
Oh, this I love this one. Vinny LeCavalier and Marty St. Louis. Yeah. That's a great underrated one right there.
That is a good one. Only one cup, though. So we just wanted to try something fun and talk about some dynamic duos. I really can't think of like many that were unbelievable for the Rangers. But with 4Play, bring your best game to the date where you and your single buddies can team up, make a shared profile, and go out with other pairs of single friends. Like Avery and I have been talking about, you can go mini golfing, go see Oppenheimer or Barbie. There's so many different things you can do, especially in New York in the summertime as far as double dating goes. So click on the link in our episode description, whether you're on YouTube or if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, click the link and sign up with 4Play. And with that being said, I think we should send it over to Mike Grinnell. Avery, you want to send it over?
Let's do it. Mikey G, my boy from Barstool Sports. This is a good one.
This week on the Blue Crew, we are very happy to welcome on someone who's dodged us for about over a year now. I think he said he's come on like 5 or 6 different times and just totally ghosted my text. I don't know about Avery, but a good friend of ours. He's been spending the entire summer either down the shore drinking Big Deal Brew or God knows where. Welcome to the Blue Crew podcast, the producer of Spittin' Chiclets. G, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Nothing's going on really at all right now. As you guys know, hockey season is not going on since it's August. But you mentioned dodging, right? You mentioned me dodging you guys. And I see Avery Zaretsky's stupid face on this podcast. And I have to say, Avery, you owe us. You owe Spittin' Chiclets right now a jump in the Hudson River. If you forgot, you bet Pasha that you would jump in the Hudson River if the Rangers lost to the Devils. You owe us, buddy. Don't think we're not talking about that anymore.
But did that get terminated when his contract got terminated? I don't know.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Chiclets boys still talk about it quite often.
I don't know if I should do any free content, though.
Here's the thing, Avery. It doesn't have to be content anymore. We just want to know that you jumped in that Hudson River. And you're I know you, Avery. You're a man of your word.
I am, but I also know you, and you're not going to just not record it.
Wait, when was this bet made? Was this like before the series started or like after the 2-0 lead?
No, it was before. It was well before the series.
We were that before the series.
Yeah, we were in Florida. We were at the All-Star game.
It's all on video too. We got everything recorded.
It's not that I'm not dodging it. I just I don't want to give any free content.
The weather's been kind of shitty this summer. That's why it's not a nice time for a dip in the Hudson.
Yeah, that's true.
Grinnell, speaking of, you know, the series, how much did Johnny fucking pay you and Eichel the night of the Vegas Cup clincher to hang out with him?
It's actually funny, to be honest with you guys. I hung out with them. Like, that's kind of what happened in that situation. I was leaving Omnia with another group of people, and I saw these guys walking out, and they said, hey, come to McMullen's with us. So I have to I'd say when we got there, we hung out with them because of me. But yeah. I would say that we were there because of Johnny and the Empty Netter boys.
It was transactional, for sure.
Very transactional. What a night, though. Oh, my God. How cool was that? And I say this all the time. Like, so I fell asleep for most of the cut party. Let's just get that out there now. I was asleep in my room. I passed out. I couldn't handle it. But when I woke up, and we ended up hanging with the Vegas Golden Knights till 7 a.m., 8 a.m., I would have rather done what we did than what everyone else did. Everyone else partied with them at Omnia, got to see the cup, take a video. But we got to actually sit down, hang out. And, dude, Johnny, we were, like, breaking down the series. Like, we went series by series with Jack. And he was giving – that was the coolest part, was he's giving us, like, insight on which happened each series. And at that point in the night, he was maybe coming down off his drunk. So he like, a little bit – little bit in him there, but regardless, I'm rambling. That was a sick night.
Long time from Buffalo for him.
That kind of just like leads me in, I guess. But I don't want to, like, I said it before we started recording. This is just going to bounce all over the place, probably from conversation to topic to whatever. But I've told the story a long time ago on this show about how we met G at that Quinn concert. I've never actually heard your side of it, so I'm kind of curious to hear your perspective on the night that you and I met.
So, same thing. I was thinking about it before this. Like, when did me and Johnny meet? And it was the Quinn 92 concert. Yeah. I walked out of the bathroom, and I believe you were right there. And you were like, "Hey,
I was at the sink. It was just you and I in the bathroom. I was washing my hands, and you came out of the stall.
Oh, I was taking a shit. I was definitely taking a shit. Definitely a big pooper. only I would poop at a Quinn 92 concert, right? But yeah, I remember you coming out and we were talking, and we talked for a while. And I basically remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think I told my girlfriend to, like, go to the seats. And I remember getting to the seats and her being, or once we got there, she was like, "Who the hell was that guy? Like, why did you just talk to him for so long?" And I was like, "That's Johnny Laz. Like, he played at UMass. Like, he's a hockey guy." And I just feel like ever since then, we've been boys.
Yeah. I just remember being at the sink. And it was just like you walking out of the stall and it was us two in the bathroom. I was like, what are the – and I was like in the mezzanine, like not even a good seat at the concert. I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing up here? But, you know, we could ramble about that forever. But
Quinn 92 is unbelievable, too.
He's the best.
Can we just throw that out there? Like, what an artist he is. And we're going. We're definitely going together, Brooklyn Mirage, when he comes.
Well, I already have a ticket. I'm going, so.
Did you hear about that guy who went missing at Brooklyn Mirage? What's good with that?
No.
No, I that sucks, because Brooklyn Mirage is such a fun venue. I was there a couple weeks ago to see Loud Luxury, but yeah, that sucks. That's unfortunate, and hoping and praying that kid turns up alive.
I've actually only been to the Mirage like one time, so I'm hyped to go back. Is it August 31st, the show?
It's incredible. It's unreal. Man.
Gee, let's just talk about, I don't know if you want to go over the whole thing, starting with spin chickens. I'm sure you do it all the time, but something I'm very curious about was a player you interviewed where you like, maybe just felt like you could have done a much better job, or something that you cringed at yourself at. Like, I cringe at myself when I listen back to old stuff all the time. Like, was there a player that you guys had sat down with, like, man, like, we totally just could have done a better job? But sometimes you can't control the directions in which an interview goes. You just kind of ramble, and that's just how the product is. So is there one player that comes to mind?
That's a great question, because everyone always asks the other end of that question, like how, like who was the best interview, and no one's really ever asked like who was someone we thought we could do better. There's plenty, man. Like, there's a lot of times after interviews where we're always like, and I think it's tough because like Biz and Wit are their biggest critics, and that's why they're so good at what they do. And I try to find a happy medium of Because after almost every interview, they don't feel like they did the best that they could do.
Really?
So, like, I always feel, and Avery's been on the road with us, like, I try to encourage them as much as possible after interviews. Like, guys, you did a great job. That was a really good interview. Because right away, they usually go to, like, hey, we could have done better there. But that's just, that's the professional athlete in them. You know what I mean? Where they always want to be a step better. And, like, that's why they're so good. I can speak. I think that's more of a question for, like, Biz and Wit as opposed to like who they thought they could do better with. But I think for me in particular, I don't know if you, like how long you guys have been listening to Spit and Chicklets, but if you listen in the early days, I'd say episodes 1 through 70 until we added Biz, I had much more of a third mic role and I was talking a lot more, which means I'm going to say a lot more dumb shit. So when I go back and listen to some of the stuff, I would say it was cringy to say the least. Like I would ask the dumbest questions, the worst questions. And then it always goes back to like the question we call it. When I asked Jack Eichel how many beers he would have to drink for me to score a goal on him in pond hockey, like the worst question of all time. And so, yeah, I go back and I think about that. And, but there's, there have been interviews that we've recorded that we haven't put out. Yeah. Because we didn't think we did a good job. So I think we're our biggest critic. So me personally would be the Jack Eichel question, but I say as a whole, it happens quite often.
I see where you were thinking with that one. It just comes off like, I don't know, but that's
yeah,
not like the word.
Yeah. It's just like,
give yourself a little more credit. I don't think it's that bad.
When you listen to it though, it's so bad, man. It's just such a tough question. And
you don't have to kiss up to him, Johnny. It was bad.
No.
Yeah.
He's the last guy's ass that I kiss. I mean,
I'm the guy who's had all the bad takes on Spit and Chicklets. Trust me, dude. Honestly, I'm not even joking. Of all the places and of all the pages I've worked for, it's the one where no matter what you say, if it's bad, you'll never hear the end of it ever.
Well, Avery, what was yours then?
God, I'd probably have to say the Vasilevsky one.
Yes.
I hate the most shit on.
Oh, well, can I set the tone a little bit for this argument where Avery said that this was a long, ongoing argument between Wit and Avery that Igor was like, if you had one game on the line, I think the argument was, who would you take, Igor or would you take Vasi? And this, everywhere we'd go, every time we're on the road, these two start bickering.
You think the Rangers are better than the Lightning?
I think this is a completely different group this year.
You're an idiot. Like, the fact that you think this is just...
That they played them 3 times and beat them all 3 times.
It literally doesn't matter.
You're just got your Rangers colored glasses on and your Rangers underwear and your Rangers socks that you come your jizz into.
You know what I mean? Like they get like it was months later after this original argument occurred, and these two are just going nonstop. So to Avery's credit, when we walked in to interview Wayne Gretzky, the argument is going on.
I stuck my foot in my mouth in Atlanta.
The argument is still going on, and Wayne kind of asked, like, what are you guys arguing about? And fucking shithead Avery over here starts going at it with Gretzky. That's how much he like believed his point. Like Gretzky's siding with Vasi with Wit, and he's like, no, I'm taking Vasi. And Avery's like right away, like, no, like you're crazy. Like I would absolutely. We're like, dude, great one you're talking to. So I always will give Avery credit. Like in that situation, I would have turtled. I would have been like, you're right, Mr. Gretzky, Mr. Sir, you're 100% correct. Mr. Great One. But no, Avery held his ground there.
Well, I knew they always loved me there, but I feel like they were definitely a little tense when I started digging into Gretzky, a guy that they've wanted on the podcast forever. And I'm just
within the first 5 minutes of him being there.
He literally just sat down.
Can you guys talk about that experience too? Just, you know, meeting Wayne, I'm sure that's a top five, you know, top three Chicklets moment, right? Like having that interview with Gretzky. It was at his house too, right?
No, so we did it at the at a hotel in Atlanta when they were filming TNT. Mm-hmm. So it was an experience unlike anything I've ever dealt with. I mean, Avery was there every step of the way, like going out to dinner with him, like after the interview, just sitting there listening to him talk, like tell these stories. And it's kind of crazy, like when you like look over at him, he's like this like glowing, like he really is like the great one. You're like, oh my god, I can't believe, like it doesn't feel real like when you see him sitting there.
You asked me after, you're like, where does this rank on like best nights of your life. And I was like, I don't know. But you're like, what better day could you have possibly had than just hang out with Wayne Gretzky? And then the next night we hung out with Wayne Gretzky. We didn't just interview him. We like maybe got the greatest Wayne Gretzky experience that you like. People would pay tens of millions of dollars to do what Grinnelli and I did that night.
The Ranger guy needs a picture for sure.
It was unbelievable.
I want to circle back a little bit to Johnny's earlier question, but so I used to watch Chicklets all the time. I fell off a little bit. Johnny's laughing at me. But, you know, I kind of fell off a little bit. I was always waiting for you to, you know, take a little bit more of a leadership role there, and it just hasn't happened. So, no, I'm kidding. But so to go back to Johnny's question about who you guys have interviewed, like who's maybe would you say one current player and then one all-timer that you guys haven't interviewed yet or been able to interview that you want to interview the most from your perspective?
I would say former player Brett Hull. I would say everyone wants to hear from Hully. Every time we interview an old timer, it's like Hully stories left and right. Yeah. So I think Brett Hull would be awesome. Mark Messier would be unbelievable as well. And current players, I would love Patrick Kane. I think Patrick Kane, he's the greatest, like one of the greatest American born hockey players ever. I think he's, you know, he's those teams in Chicago, you know, even coming to New York last year. There's just, he's played so much hockey. He's played with so many great players. I'd love to talk to him. I don't think he's officially retired yet. So Kane? I'll put this guy in the middle, but Jumbo, I would Jumbo Joe Thornton, I think would be an incredible interview as well.
Is he not officially retired?
I don't think so, man. I don't think he's officially hung him up.
No way. I thought he was. Well, like, he didn't play last year.
I think he practiced with, I don't know.
I saw him
Doesn't he just hang out at the rink facility?
I don't know.
February 25th, Joe Thornton still not talking about a future. He hasn't officially retired.
That's pretty wild.
They would have done something big for him. That's why I feel exactly. That makes sense.
Yeah, but he didn't play.
It's not like just because you're not playing doesn't mean you're not.
He's not going to go out and make a roster right now, is he?
You never know.
I bet you there's a lot of teams that would take Jumbo right now.
Like who?
Maybe. Are you a Bees guy through and through?
Through and through. Love my
So bees. So what's your quick hitter one-liner on Patrice?
Best two-way forward in NHL history. They're going to rename the Selke trophy after him. If you want to talk kind of like Bruins next seat, like that's a huge hole. Like that's a huge hole at the 1C. And I've been pretty adamant this offseason. Like I'm not worried at all. But then once he retired, it kind of became real and you're like, oh my God, Coyle and Zaka are the 1-2, which I've said it nonstop. Like the best the Bruins played in the playoffs were when Coyle and Zaka were the 1-2. They also had fucking Bertuzzi flying around out there. Hall looked great. None of those two are here now. So
yeah,
I'm a little worried heading into next season, to be honest now, but I don't think they're going to, I still think they're a playoff team.
I think Jonathan Toews might end up there,
man. I've been saying that. I actually haven't said that publicly, but I've been saying it to my friends.
I've been thinking it a lot. No way, because I haven't heard you say it. So
yeah, I've been thinking it a lot, but he would be a great fit. Like, I think he's like the perfect guy, like just to hold you over for one more year, right? Like just play competitive hockey this year, hold them over to next year, tons of free agents next season. We'll address it then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, while we're on the Bruins, I have a hard hitting one for you. So I want you to lock in and prepare your brain right now. That's from the years, from the, what's up?
Nothing. None.
What did you say, Cody?
I said hard hitter.
No, I think I'm curious what you guys think too, honestly.
Okay.
We'll go around the table here. Between the years 2013 to 2023, the last decade, which organization had a more disappointing 10 years, the Bruins or the Rangers?
The Rangers. The Bruins won a cup.
Yeah, no,
that's that.
Well, no, not since 2013.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Oh, my God. Wow. It's
been
that long.
That is a great question. That is a hard hitting question.
And they lost the cup in.
They went to a couple finals.
14, right?
Weren't able to do it. Lost a game 7 on home ice. The Rangers lost a game 7 conference finals home ice. They lost a cup final. It's pretty disappointing decade for both organizations, I would say.
I would say that the Bruins had a more disappointing decade. And I only say that because
the consistency level of it. Like the Rangers had that like 3-4 year gap where there was like not a lot of hope. The Bruins, I feel like, were steady the entire way.
Yeah, and I just like
this past season, look no further.
Nah,
like,
but
best
I feel
regular
like
season
just,
ever.
Yeah, like
the Bruins gave that core cup though. Like Rangers had Henrik Lundqvist and they didn't win.
No, but we're just talking about this 10-year span though. This from 2013 and the Bruins lost in the cup two times in that span. Like cup finals, game 7 both times.
Yeah,
the Bruins were more successful. The Bruins were more successful, but in terms of disappointment, they might have also been more disappointing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough question because it's like in terms of heartbreak, I would say it's Bruins. But in terms of the Rangers have themselves set up for like a good future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How set up is the Bruins' future? I mean, they do have Pastrnak and McAvoy and Lindholm and Omar and Swayman. Like, but up the middle, it's still a question.
Yeah, it's a good hard hitter, Johnny.
It is. No, well, it's interesting, right? Because like, I actually think if I were a Bruins fan, like obviously that game 7 on home ice against St. Louis is tough, but I think, 2013, that game 6 on home ice against Chicago where they had the lead and let up those two goals in the final like minute and a half, like I think that's bigger heartbreak than the game 7 against St. Louis on home ice. Mm-hmm. And like for the Ranger fans, like for me, I was definitely more heartbroken that game 7 against Tampa on home ice than I was the Stanley Cup final. Like I really thought, had they gotten over Tampa, they would have beaten Chicago.
Part of it with the Bruins, though, was like winning it for this core. Like I wanted them to win for Bergeron. You know what I mean? So like the fact that they couldn't get it done for him in this 10-year span and for the guys like, you know, Krejci and that whole core and Marchand, like it just sucks that they couldn't get it done for them. That's why I think it's so disappointing.
Pastrnak feels like he's been in the league that long. He hasn't won anything yet. Yeah. Like
I know,
you know,
fucking sucks.
So let's bring the vibes back up. Who's got a fun one?
Avery.
Cody.
All right. So
kind of
staying on New York and Boston sports, which city out of the two would you say will win the next championship and bring a championship back to the city? It doesn't need to be in hockey, so it could be any of the major sports. And what team do you think that'll be? And if you don't say the Rangers, you're dead to me.
I would say Boston. I think the Celtics win the NBA championship next year. But I mean, does New Jersey count? Because the Devils look fucking good next year, boys.
Well, that's all they got. So,
what else? But no, I'd say Boston. I think the Celtics are right there.
Avery disagrees.
No, I actually think I don't know. I think the Rangers might take another run at it.
Really?
This is why he's so fucking delusional, dude. Next, you're going to tell me Lafreniere is going to put up 30 next season, right?
I mean, the guy's not even on a contract right now.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? What's the deal with the
Lafreniere? I mean, he could put up 30. He could put up 30
points.
That's not crazy. 30 goals?
30 goals? Are you kidding me?
Didn't he have 19? Or what
did he have? 19.
Yeah, yeah. 19.
Certainly not 30 goals.
Oh, come
on.
Maybe
he sees the power play a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. If he's on PP1, I mean, I can, you know, maybe see it. I don't know. 25 is more likely, but. You know?
Yeah, and if Johnny was on PP1, he would have stuck at UMass and won a national championship. But
I was on PP1 for like a hot month.
Then Johnny had
more power play time than I got.
Yeah.
Johnny had the greatest first game of his life at UMass. Thought he was going to be a 4-year starter, get drafted in the top 3 rounds of the NHL, and then unfortunately,
wait, what? I didn't know this. What happened in your first game?
I was like sixth in points in the first month of my freshman year, like amongst freshmen. And I was like the cockiest fucking person I've ever been in my life in that month.
Wait, what happened in the first game? How'd the first game go?
I scored the first goal of the season for our team. And then I scored the next game too. So I scored in both games the first weekend of my college career. And then everything went.
I was with all my UMass buddies this past weekend and just talking about the school and what a fun place to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine playing hockey there, but like, because just going there was fun enough, but playing hockey there must have been incredible.
Dude, it was so awesome, man. Like, honestly, so we can talk about college hockey too. I mean, Avery's got the Quinnipiac background. They won the Natty Ship this year. Who is, in your opinion, the best player to come out of college in the last 10 years?
Jack Eichel.
I just thought of that. You think Jack Eichel?
Yeah, no question.
You're taking Eichel over Cale Makar,
Chris Kreider. Oh, are we talking about like him playing the year in college? Like when
I just meant like the best player to come out of college in the
oof.
Best college player. I mean, Eichel probably would take that cake, maybe.
Yeah, like Eichel, his freshman year at BU was the most dominant performance of hockey like I've ever seen. Yeah, I mean, I would say Cale Makar. I mean, it's tough to not lean towards Eichel, especially after that season last year. But yeah, I would probably go. I'd probably say Cale Makar. Man, it's crazy how many guys there are now too, though. Like,
yeah.
It's not what it used to be, where it'd be like one guy per team is a U.S. college hockey player. There's a lot, and they're really good.
It is funny, though. Like, when we used to play Cale, not we, I know, just the team, but when UMass would play Quinnipiac, we would see Cale play, and it would be like, he's obviously sick, but it didn't look like what he looks like now.
Yeah.
And that's why I agree, like, with Grinnelli, like, Eichel might probably the best college player in the last 10 years, but Cale Makar, best to come out of college for sure.
Eichel played there before I got to college, so I remember the seniors on our UMass team were saying, like, how I think maybe they were tied with BU or something, like, in one game, and Eichel put up, like, 5 points in the third period and just totally, like, took over. Like, the craziest thing ever. I mean, that kid is also, when you watch him live, like, it doesn't even look like he's trying, and he flies. Like, it's like, the craziest thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he just it's like he's one of those guys that just, like, you can't tell he's skating fast and then he blows by you. Funny story about Jack Eichel. He used to play Dual State Huskies growing up. I was a 93. I think he's a 98, I want to say.
No, he's a 96.
96. So he would when we would do skills, you know how, like, they would do, you practice 2 days a week and then one day is like skills where a skills coach comes in. The skills coach, there was this little kid, like, skating with us, and we're like, who the fuck is this? And they're like, that's a 96. He's Eichel. He's from North Chelmsford. He's sick. It's crazy. So, like, I've always, like, when I've heard the name Jack Eichel, I'm like, oh, like, North Chelmsford kid. And then, like, then he went to BU, and I'm like, holy shit, like, he's gonna be really good. And then second overall pick, NHL. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna jump in. I actually had a question that I just thought of. So smart man alert. So you tour, obviously, with, you know, Wit and Biz. Like, can you maybe tell us one all-timer story of one trip you guys went on together that maybe you had a crazy night or you went out with whatever guest you were getting or anything like that? Like, just one best story you can possibly think of.
Yeah, I've told this one before, so he won't get too pissed. So when we were – so this story has some levels to it. So when we were in Sidney Crosby and Nathan McKinnon brought us up to Halifax to do an interview with them. They brought us to, like, their favorite bar to do the interview. We did the interview there. Then we went and got dinner after. When we were at dinner, you know how sometimes, like, when you're at dinner, you know, the conversation's down one end of the table. All the big dogs are down one end. They're all yucking it up, and it's kind of quiet down the other end. Well, that's kind of how our situation was. It's Biz,
I get
Wit,
it. Johnny doesn't get it. I get it.
Yeah. Biz, Wit, McKinnon, Crosby, kind of all sitting down one end, but I'm next to Crosby, but I'm kind of the line of where it starts to get quiet. You know, Kasha, the camera guys, we're kind of quiet down the end. And halfway through the dinner, Sid kind of just turns his whole body and looks at me, and he's like, Mike, so how'd you get into Spittin' Chiclets? Like, how'd you get into Barstool? Like, where are you from? And I was just like, what? Like, why do you care? Like, I was just so shocked that, like, he cared to talk to me and, like, wanted to talk to me. And it was a really cool moment. And then that night we went out with Sid and McKinnon, and it was such a cool experience to go out with those guys. And they did this thing where every square inch of the table has to be covered with a drink. So, like, they sit down and, like, every square inch of the giant table we were at, they ordered, like, 36 vodka sodas. So, like, you just always have a drink to pick up and drink.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. I'm like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. If I ordered 36 vodka sodas, I'd be broke. But and then that night, as we were leaving, old busy boy is the drunkest I've ever seen him. Stumbles out of a Halifax bar, just takes one look at a pretty young lady waiting in line to get in the bar, tells her, come over here. And he brought her back to his room. So it was just like, that was just like, wow. Like, this guy is big time. This guy's a rock star. So yeah, it was that. I'd say that the Halifax was probably the craziest story I've ever experienced.
I kind of want to feed off that if I can too, because you know, you asked it before, like, I don't know how long you guys have been listening to Chicklets and whatnot. I didn't even know like what a podcast was, I think, till like 2019. It was when you guys first had McAvoy on. That's like when I first saw Spin Chicklets. So that must have been like, I think it might have been my freshman year of college or sophomore year. So like 2018, 2019, around that time. But, you know, for you, obviously you guys have expanded. Media's changed a shit ton in the last like 5-6 years. What do you think has been like your most innovative idea? Because you guys have done a lot. Like, you've done the Sandbagger, now Chicklets Cup, the vodka, the beer. There's been so much shit that you guys have created. And like, you know, I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but how do you find new ways to do different things? Because like, I feel like we're kind of getting to a point now where there's 500 hockey podcasts. Everyone's trying to do the same thing. So how do you continue to just try to innovate and be more creative each year?
I think, yeah, trying first off, like, I'd say our most innovative thing we've done, there's two, and you mentioned them both. I'd say it's the vodka, the Pink Whitney vodka, and the Sandbaggers. And I think those were so great because they were so organic, right? Like, when we did the vodka, it was New Amsterdam came on for like a year-long partnership to be the presenting sponsor of the podcast, and they asked us to each talk about how we love to drink vodka. And, you know, RA was vodka on the rocks. I think I was vodka Red Bull. Biz was like vodka soda. And then Wit was like, I love vodka lemonade. I love pink lemonade and vodka. Like, that's the way to do it. And everyone just started like tweeting us like #PinkWhitney when they were drinking pink lemonade and vodka. So we listened to the fans, right? Like, if it seemed like they liked this and something was catching on. So we're like, Biz and Jeff Jacobson, who is kind of our business manager, jumped on the domain, pinkwhitney.com, kind of trademarked it, did everything we need to. So, and then now it's like the highest selling flavored vodka in North America. So like, that, it's been so crazy to see like the growth of that. And then I think the Sandbagger too, because going back to Halifax, like, me and Pasha were like at the hotel, and Nate, Biz, Wit, Nate and Sid went to play golf, and we were hoping we could film, but Sid was like, no, like, I don't want you guys filming us. And like, Biz just texted Pasha like on the third hole and was like, get here, like, show up here and just start filming. So we started filming on like the third hole. We did like holes like 3 to like, I don't know, like, we didn't film every hole, but we were just kind of filming them on and off. And now we have the Sandbagger Invitational, which gets millions of views, and it's one of our biggest moneymakers, just from, you know, a spontaneous idea of like, Biz to text Pasha and be like, hey, come film this while we're at the golf course. So, yeah, it's just, and there's so many different things too, because then there's like, and you asked about like, how do we try to stay innovative? Because there's so many different hockey podcasts now. And
without being like cringe too, dude, like, it's very like organic, obviously, yeah, is the main thing. But like, I've obviously taken a lot of hockey content, and not a lot of it is like organic.
So I think the biggest thing that we've tried to do from day one is we're not a hockey podcast. We're a hockey brand. We really wanted to establish ourselves as a brand. And we had, in order to do that, we had to try things that did like, we did game, like, I went heavy into gaming during the pandemic because we needed a way to make some money. So I did gaming, and like, that wasn't necessarily a pillar where we were going to grow this. Mm-hmm. And we've added game notes, and we've done the Sandbaggers, and we've done Chicklets Cups, and we've done the vlogs, and we've done, you know, documentaries, and we've done video series like the ECHL video series. And we've always just tried to make ourselves as much as possible, like, not be just known as a hockey podcast, because we're a hockey brand. We want to be the premier brand in hockey. When you think hockey, you think Spit and Chicklets.
Yeah. And Mike Grinnelli.
And Grinnelli, baby.
Can I follow up with that? So you gave us kind of the pitch on how Pink Whitney started. Can you talk about Big Deal Brewing too? And then my second part to that is, I'm a beer guy. I've actually never tried it. What's your pitch to, like, serious pitch to, of why I should try it wherever the fuck I can find it?
Do you like to get drunk?
Yes. Do you like beers? So I'd say the beer kind of was something that it might have been before the vodka. Like, Biz always said, like, I want to start my own beer. Like, we should start a beer. I want to start a beer. And then we had, like, Pink Whitney kind of came out of nowhere. We had such good success with it. But at the end of the day, like, Biz is a beer drinker. Like, you always see the guy drinking a beer. So it was just something that, you know, Biz was super passionate about, you know, starting a beer, starting his our own Chiclets beer. And, you know, hockey fans need a new beer, right? Like, there's no beer that's really synonymous with hockey anymore. So we said, hey, let's call our good friends at Labatt. We kind of just joined a partnership with them at the time, and they were all in, and, you know, the partnership's been great so far. So yeah, it was Biz's idea really. And then we've kind of just run with it. And then what was the other part of that question?
Just why should myself or like anybody else who hasn't tried it actually just start down in it?
Beer, man.
It's because
Shut up, bro. You drink Natty Ice, dude, you fucking weirdo.
Loser. Because it's refreshing. It's light. It's unbelievable. Like it's 4.5 alcohol. So like you can pound a bunch of them, but it has that like hoppy kick to it where you think it's like a IPA, but it's not. It's light. You can drink a bunch of them. So it's refreshing. It's great in the summer. It's
refreshing. That's all I needed to know.
All right, maybe. So G had the pond hockey question. This is Cody's G question because that was fucking terrible.
No, but seriously, I wanted to know, like, is it?
I'm a beer guy. Why should I drink your beer?
Well, I don't like because I don't.
I actually don't think it was a bad question. I think what he said to you is even funnier.
What?
He was like, "What do you say? You drink like Natty Ice?"
Oh yeah. Johnny, fucking fuck you guys. All right,
Johnny Ice.
It's fine. John holds his peace signs like that.
Yeah, it's bad.
You just did it again. Like, yeah, what's actually wrong with you?
I know. No, it's a problem.
What is wrong with you?
It's a serious problem.
For some context, so we give Johnny shit because wherever he goes, he like holds up peace signs like this, like a fucking weirdo, and makes like fucking his lips.
Yeah, dude,
he just has problems. He has problems. It's unfortunate, but
it's not a secret.
It's the cards we were dealt in life.
It's clearly not a secret.
Well, now when I see anyone else do it, I can say, like, dude, stop taking my fucking thing.
Ugh, no one's taking it.
It's 2024, Johnny. I accept you for – or it's 2023. Oh, I Lord, accept geez. You for whoever you are and whatever person you want to be.
Jeez. All right, let's transition a little bit more. G, how much time do you have?
I have as long as you guys fucking want.
All right, cool. Well, you mentioned the documentary FDMY, NYPD. We actually had Dan O'Donohue and John Peretta on the show, two friends of the show. You were fucking running around that day. Like, that was a long work day for you. Like, you probably didn't even have a second to breathe. Can you just talk about, you know, that broadcast? That was like an unbelievable event. I mean, it was my first game. So just touch on that whole scenario. Next year's the 50 year. So I imagine if you guys have the rights again, it's going to be insane.
Yeah. So that was a super, super, super crazy experience. And one of the coolest things I think we've ever done. It was crazy because during the pandemic, I don't know if you guys remember, but ESPN broadcasted, I believe it was the 47th annual, but it was the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job with the broadcast. But I remember watching it and thinking two things. One, we could do a better job at this. Like, this is very corporate. Like, we could make this funny and entertaining, and we could really bring out the personalities in the players on the ice. So my first text went to Erica Nardini. I shot Erica a text and said, are you watching this right now? We could do this, and we could do it better than they could. And she responded and was like, oh my god, let's do it. And then my next text went to Sean Apuzzo, who is our producer with us at Chiclets. And I said, we should film a documentary about this game. And Sean went to work. And, you know, a year and a half later, we had the documentary. And, you know, a couple weeks after that, we had the game. And it was a crazy learning process, just because, you know, I've never done anything like that before. Live broadcasting, just from a production standpoint, from the business end, like, dealing with, you know, sales and, you know, advertising rights, who owns the ads on the boards and the ice, and like dealing with all that stuff was such a new, humbling experience to me because I had no fucking clue what I was doing. But it was an incredible experience. And I believe it's one of the coolest things we've ever done. It was so much fun to be a part of. I just think getting to know a lot of the NYPD and FDNY guys, that was a treat as well, because they're such good guys. You mentioned Peretta and Dan O'Donohue, both two legends. And it was just it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. And Sean really did. If you haven't watched it yet, go check it out, because Sean really did like an amazing job on the documentary that he put together. But yeah, the game broadcast, you know, I never thought in a million years that we would be capable of doing something that elite, that advanced, and we did, and we pulled it off with no issues. So we have an amazing team at Barstool, and it was just it was an awesome experience.
I mean, that brings me into like where broadcasting is heading. Are you guys gonna be doing more hockey stuff? Like, is the Chicklets Cup broadcasted? I'm excited to fucking play in that. I can't wait to line you up.
I hope you do. Just line me up and like knock me out the first day. Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing broadcasting for the Chicklets Cup. We like it to be, you know, we like for the fans that come to enjoy it, because it's not only for the people who are playing. I believe we had 900 participants last year, but wow. I mean, the foot traffic per day was over 3,000 people. So it's lots of people are coming and going, coming and watching. It's a hockey festival. It's not a hockey tournament, which is where we want to go with the Chicklets Cup. And in terms of hockey broadcasting, unfortunately, that's not really up to us. Mm-hmm. What we did with the NYPD FDNY game showed that what we can do and what we're capable of doing. But I think now it comes down to the people who own the rights to give us a chance. And I think like we saw what just happened with the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour and Foreplay, and how they broadcasted that this past weekend. And that was so incredible start to finish. And that's the PGA Tour, like we're talking about. Like that's a legit company, legit. One of the big dogs that are coming to work with Barstool and Foreplay in particular. It's so, yeah, like if the NHL would, you know, ever allow us to broadcast a game, I'm sure that's something we would be open to. And then there's NCAA, Major Junior, you know, ECHL, AHL. There's so many different levels of hockey, and I think we could do the hockey world wonders if you let us start to broadcast these games. Because like how many broadcasts are going to go live to RA at the bar, like during the game, like that, like it just doesn't happen. And like, it's tough for me to say like, that's the future of what we're doing, because I don't know. I really don't know that answer. I think if that was to be a route that we went in, I think we would hit a home run. But again, those are decisions that are made by people who get paid much more than me.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's room for everything, right? Like, you know, I think that's what we're starting to see even more. And you know, it's funny, I think about us, like our show. Cody, Avery, how many Ranger podcasts are there? 100?
Yeah, a good amount.
There's only one real one.
Like, everyone coexists, though, you know, in whatever realm of hockey you're in. And I think that's, like, where we're heading in broadcasting and social media, like, in all these different avenues.
Johnny's fucking guested on 79 of them.
Did you just make up a word? I've guested?
It could ruin the joke.
I think so.
I'm trying not to get hit too hard.
ChatGPT me. I don't know what to tell you.
That was a good chirp.
But I think it's one thing that I think is super encouraging to see is the like how the NHL is handling all the creators, all the influencers, all the digital. Like the NHL is moving in a direction I think that is great for everyone. And like the show that you were doing during the playoffs, like that was awesome. Like I feel like that's not something that the NHL would have done in the past, where they brought like doing these internet style live shows that you're getting guests on at all times. You're kind of firing away. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm happy to see like the NHL, like, you know, inviting the on the bench guys to events and, you know, the empty netters guys and working with you. And there's so many talented hockey creators out there, and it's good to see the NHL start to recognize them.
Yeah. And it's actually funny. I don't see like any other sport doing what the NHL was doing in that regard. Like that live YouTube show, like that was actually like the first, you know, a thing I think the NHL has done differently than everyone else, which obviously was, you know, I was super fortunate to be a part of it, but it was awesome. And do you guys have any more stuff? I have like two more questions. I don't know.
My only other question is, bro, if you had to fuck, kill, marry Wit, Biz, and RA, who are you going with?
Oh, that's so easy. That is the easiest question.
That is actually
the
easiest question you probably could ever ask.
Okay. Easy. You marry Wit because he's got the money. You fuck Biz because you know Biz is a good fuck. And then, unfortunately, you'd have to kill RA. And I love RA. RA's my guy, but money talks, sex walks, baby.
Right? Did you just make that up?
I think I did. That was pretty sick, right?
Yeah. Actually sounds kind of cool. All right, so just to wrap it up, I have two more, both, you know, hockey-related questions. if you had to put one name in the hat right now to have more points than McDavid this season, who you picking?
Draisaitl.
Yeah, his fucking partner.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Someone not on the Oilers.
Yeah. That was a dumb question. Damn.
That was worse than mine, dude. Holy shit.
Someone not on the Oilers, I would say Matthew Tkachuk.
That's a good
Tkachuk's my going guy. Dude,
dumb. He just had surgery. He's not even a player.
Oh, yeah. What am I talking about? Yeah, he's not going to have a good
Kucherov, season. McKinnon, probably one of those two.
I was going to go with McKinnon. Yeah, I like Nate Dogg. Give me Nate Dogg.
No love for your guy Pasta? Damn.
Pasta's got to have a center. Someone's got to be feeding Pasta next year.
It's facts.
And then last question to wrap things up, and I'm down to actually make a bet on this if you want, but who finishes next season with more points, Hampus Lindholm or Keandre Miller?
Hampus Lindholm.
I mean, I don't know. I think Keandre's going to get some more power play time this year.
Let me say this. I've said this for a long time. I love Keandre Miller. I love this kid's game. From the first Rangers game I went to, that when he was on the team, I am like, this kid is a horse. When you dump the puck in and you're going into that corner and you have Keandre Miller coming in behind you, you're like, fuck that. That guy is I love that kid's game, but I like Lindholm. I think Lindholm gets more points. I'm willing to make a bet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You have a bigger bankroll than me probably, but we'll find something to do. I ain't jumping in the Hudson River, though, that's for sure.
We'll figure something out, and we'll chat about it, and we'll post it somewhere. But before we wrap up, I want to say two things. One, Avery Zaretsky was a major part of Spit and Chicklets, and he has been for the past couple of years. So it would be a disservice if I didn't say that to him. He helped us out when we couldn't get much help. He was making quote boards for us. He helped make podcast promos. This is 3-4 years ago.
I forgot. I'm surprised you remember that.
Of course I remember that, Avery.
That was early. That was 4 years ago. Yeah,
so he wasn't I don't even know if he was getting paid. He was an intern. He was always helping out. Always a helping hand. Big help on the Sandbaggers. So great to see you're doing good, Avery. You do owe us a jump in the Hudson River.
We'll talk about that.
But Avery was a big part of Spit and Chicklets. And I want to say, Johnny, to you, play a little tummy sticks. It was great to see. I had you as the rookie of the year. I think I said this to you when we were walking home from Vegas, when we were walking down the strip from McMullen's. I had you as the Calder Trophy winner for hockey media this year.
Thank you.
Burst onto the scene. You were incredible. Beginning of the season, I would say not many people, if I said, Johnny Lez, not many people know who that was. By the end of the season, you say Johnny Lez, everybody knew who that was. So I keep doing what you're doing. You're fucking killing it. Avery, keep killing as well. Cody, you had the best questions on the pod. So you're killing it as well, bro.
Thank you, G. Appreciate that. That was very nice and unnecessary, but we appreciate that. And now you're welcome back on anytime you answer our text to come on the show.
That's the first compliment I've ever gotten from G.
I guess before we do let you go, do you want to plug anything? Obviously, you know, there's a lot of shit coming up for you guys, and anything you want to plug?
I mean, always drink Big Deal Brewing. Go to your local your local beer store.
Yeah,
ask Big Deal Brewing. Gamble on the Barstool Sportsbook. I want you gambling on the Barstool Sportsbook. I want you drinking Pink Whitney. Maybe drink some Labatt Blue Lights over here. I got some body armors. Maybe you drink some body armor as well. But no, I don't have much, guys.
When's your next event, dude?
Chicklets Cup in Buffalo will be our next event.
Okay.
That's October 6th and 7th. Unbelievable time. Avery was there last year. It's at the Riverworks. Johnny will be there this year. We couldn't
be more excited. Did my cousin set that stuff up for you? My cousin's Lisa.
Wait, your cousin's Lisa Litvak?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
My wife
Nate buried the lead.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, my God, dude. So Lisa, let me talk about Lisa. Lisa is the hidden gem of Barstool Sports. Lisa's the lady you can thank for the Corn Ferry Tour, the Barstool Classic, the Chicklets Cup. Every time we do a live show, Lisa's the one like kind of running point on all that. So she is unbelievable.
She's the best.
G, thank you so much for coming
on. Appreciate you, bro.
And, of course, guys.
We appreciate you carving out the time for us.
Of course. Happy to do it whenever you want.
We just want to thank G again for hopping on and shooting the shit with us. Always fun talking to him. I'm sure we'll get him back on through the season, but he's definitely a busy guy over there at Spit and Chicklets. But really cool hearing. Honestly, Avery, it was cool hearing like your perspective of working with Chicklets too, because I feel like we don't really touch on that too much. But we should hear more stories from you, because you got a lot of shit that you experience with those guys, which is cool.
Yeah, no, he had some kind words to say about me. Like, yeah. I said, he probably hasn't complimented me in 4 years that I was at Barstool. But yeah, it was a cool experience working with them, and G's a great guy, class act, and he's always supported me from day one. You know, whether it was just doing little projects for them, he always gave me some work to do and collaborated with me and gave me every chance I could to be a part of that crew. So I owe a lot to G, and it was really cool to get to interview him and hear his perspective on certain things. And it's just a good time. And
we're gonna have to make him forget about that Hudson River thing though, huh?
Yeah, he grilled me on that, but it's funny. I don't work for them anymore, but yeah. I might do it. Who knows?
You should definitely not do that.
I don't want to.
Yeah, it'd be a hard idea.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. We're going to try to work on a guest for next week. You know, obviously time is a little bit slow right now. Not a lot of hockey news out there. But the season is right around the corner. Time's flying. So we're almost like 6-7 weeks away.
Bro, it's August. It's actually insane. I looked at my – so one of my best friends, his girlfriend's also like, you know, friend group, whatever, like best friends. And her birthday is this weekend. But I thought it was like 3 weeks, late.
So
like,
lost. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just so lost in time right now. I looked down at my watch today and saw the number 6, and I couldn't believe that it was already August 6th. I don't know if I explained that great, but
definitely not.
it just felt like we were still in July. Like I just couldn't believe we're already 6 days into August.
Yeah, and even June just flew by. Like I don't know, summer feels so short.
Yeah,
this summer's shorter than most, but. I don't know, man. I'm really excited for the season, though. I'm getting kind of bored. Like, August is just, like, kind of like, all right, let's get on with this, you know?
Yeah, I got a little tingle going on today when that Erik Karlsson trade happened. That was, like, a little bit of, okay, all right, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely. But
when's development camp?
Development camp already happened.
No. I mean, not development camp. Training camp?
Typically, end of September, I think. Like, probably around September 20th is when players start to report, I would say.
All right, we're getting there. I don't know if you saw a couple of the Rangers got together, Kevin Hayes' wedding. That was cool to see.
Yeah.
Like Kreider, Shattenkirk, and McDonough.
Yeah, I saw that. And there was like a charity game in Hartford.
A bunch of the guys.
Kreider and Mika played, I think. So the guys are here. They're around, which is good. But
They interviewed Kreider. I wish I had the quote. They interviewed Kreider after it, and they were asking him questions about the playoff run.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, Molly, hold on. Let me I want to pull this up because it was actually like a good quote. He said something about like how like they're going to carry it into next season.
On their shoulder, right?
Yeah. It's going to be tough to find this right now. This is horrible podcasting.
I should probably be more in tune with this too.
Yeah, Chris Kreider reflects on how the New York Rangers 2022-23 season ended. I think like every guy on that team, I've got a pit in my stomach. I expect that to turn into a bit of chip on everyone's shoulder. So it's obviously laying on them that they lost to the Devils, and Chris Kreider is a very passionate guy. It's so funny. I don't know if we talked about this enough, that when Chris Kreider came into the league with the Rangers, he was a very energetic guy. Very, you know, he always had like a funny quote and whatnot. And now he's very soft spoken, doesn't say much. So that quote, you know, it was definitely something interesting. I think they're really starting to get fed up with these losses, man. Especially him, for a guy who's been through it all.
Yeah.
He's the only one left.
Yeah, he's been through like three different kinds of Rangers teams. Maybe even four, honestly. But yeah, I mean, Kreider also, he's learned how to talk to media. He knows what makes a good quote. So I think, you know, he knows what he's doing. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. I think there's a lot of question marks and uncertainty of what to expect from this team. So I don't know. It's exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time, where last year was just a lot of excitement. But, I mean, I just can't wait for hockey to come back, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like we're going to really try to plan and hone down some watch parties. We got a great connection with American Whiskey, and I think we're just going to have a great season, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, me too. But with that being said, let's end this episode, and we'll talk to you guys next week. So, and
Johnny's tired.
LFGR. I am tired.